That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home from Monday, October 22nd, 2018. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Facebook wants to buy some cybersecurity. Washington wants to know what Silicon Valley will do for its country. Fred Wilson wants you to ask yourself if your investors are bad actors. And stealing a Tesla by hacking the entry fob. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Today, The Information is reporting that Facebook is looking to acquire a cybersecurity company. That's not a big shock to regular listeners of this pod, as every week and seemingly every day, there's some sort of news related to Facebook and data privacy. Hacks, spam, you name it. It's clear that Facebook wants to be seen investing in cybersecurity in an effort to boost its reputation around security and, of course, to actually help secure customer data against hackers. According to the report, Facebook has created an internal team devoted to finding cybersecurity companies that are willing to be bought. Facebook declined to comment to The Information. But this wouldn't be the first time Facebook has acquired a cybersecurity company. In 2014, it bought PrivateCore, which handles server-side protection. However, it appears that this time, whatever company Facebook buys will be focused on a different part of the stack. Perhaps maybe a firm that analyzes patterns of user logins or other analytics might fit the bill. Another possibility would be a company that implements user-level security features to beef up the resilience of the core Facebook login. Regardless of what kind of company comes in, a key reason for this acquisition is simply to increase the number of skilled security experts Facebook employs. That was one driver behind the PrivateCore acquisition. But Facebook will face some hurdles in buying into this sector. The Information reports that Facebook is competing against Amazon, Google, and Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, which are all trying to do basically the same thing at the same moment, and cybersecurity is currently a hot market. Cisco just bought Duo Security in August. Quoting from The Information, "Overall, in the third quarter, there was $5 billion in total acquisition activity in cybersecurity across 38 deals, according to an analysis by Momentum Cyber, a cybersecurity advisory firm. That was up 204% over the previous quarter," end quote. While Facebook will likely find a firm willing to be assimilated, it's unclear whether the effort will have much of an effect on consumer attitudes. Facebook's brand is now seriously tarnished by the ongoing series of data breaches and data security scandals. Why are there so many data breaches? Maybe in part because Facebook's core business involves collecting and storing user data. It's sort of like the wisecrack attributed to Willie Sutton. Why do bank robbers rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Just this past Friday, I interviewed Matt Cutts for my other podcast, the Internet History Podcast. That episode is dropping this Sunday, by the way. If you weren't aware, Matt Cutts left Google a couple years ago after 15-odd years running Google's web spam team, and he left to head up the United States Digital Service, which is tasked with using technology to help the government function better and more efficiently. Well, it looks like the Trump administration wants to see more people like Matt help bring the government into the digital age, because today, Mr. Trump invited them to chat. According to the Washington Post, representatives from Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and IBM, among many others, met with White House officials today. The big ask was for tech companies to help their staffers take, quote, tours of duty, working in government, working to modernize state and federal agencies' use of technology. White House officials told the Post that they're trying to get American tech workers to serve their country over the long term, not just President Trump. Quoting the Post's interview here, "This event on Monday is not just about our efforts, it's about our successor and their successor after that," added one official who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the administration's thinking. "It's good for the country in the long term for technology professionals to have civil service in their career at some point," end quote. It remains to be seen whether that call to patriotic duty will work, as there are already multiple programs in place that attempt to improve tech and government. After the horrific rollout of healthcare.gov, the Obama administration created two organizations, 18F and the U.S. Digital Service. That's the one that Matt Cutts works for, to help with procurement and other tech matters. The Trump administration has retained both of these and added a third called the Office of American Innovation, which reportedly brought reps from roughly 50 companies and several tech trade associations to the meeting today. There are plenty of factors that could reduce cooperation between tech workers and the U.S. government. For example, lower salaries, extensive background checks, political differences, conflicts of interest when recommending procurement from a prior employer, perhaps, and so on. But in a sense, what we're seeing with today's call to national service for tech is reminiscent of President Kennedy's founding of the Peace Corps in 1961, an idea he actually came up with right before he was elected. Yesterday on his AVC blog, Fred Wilson tackled the thorny question of where VC money comes from and what responsibilities stem from taking somebody's money. The first part of the problem is simply asking whose money you're taking, and the second step is asking yourself if you want to align yourself with that person. This all comes at a time when tons of business leaders are vocally stepping away from that Saudi Arabian conference this week, mostly because they disagree with the human rights records of their hosts. But what if those hosts are also investors in your startup? There is a ton of Saudi money, especially in the last few years, in Silicon Valley startup coffers. Quoting from Wilson's piece, "It is time for all of us in the startup and VC sector to do a deep dive on our investor base and ask the question, who are our investors and can we be proud of them? And do we want to work for them? Sadly, the answer for many will be no, and it will not be easy to unwind those relationships," end quote. On Twitter, Phil Wolf wrote, quote, "Even with a first level of disclosure, VC funds should watch for washing of contributions through apparently clean intermediaries. So this is a supply chain problem, the same dark money challenge affecting campaign finance transparency," end quote. One more quote from Wilson's piece that drives his point home. "Not all money is the same. The people that come with it and who are behind it matter." How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses, from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride. In 2023, just 10 vulnerabilities accounted for over half of the incidents responded to by our sponsors today, Arctic Wolf Incident Response. Wouldn't you love to know how to take these vulnerabilities off the table and make life more difficult for cybercriminals? That's just one of the essential insights you'll find inside the Arctic Wolf Labs 2024 Threats Report. Authored by their elite team of security researchers, data scientists, and security development engineers, and backed by the data gained from trillions of weekly observations within thousands of unique environments, this report offers expert analysis into attack types, root causes, top vulnerabilities, TTPs, and more. Discover the attack vectors behind nearly half of all successful cybercrimes, why ransom demands climbed 20% from 2023, and find out why 2024 will be an especially volatile year for cybersecurity.
Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/tech meme. That's arcticwolf.com/tech meme.
Today, a cautionary tale for Tesla Model S owners. Your key fob is not sufficient to secure your car, at least not if you don't use any other security features. Sunday night in Essex, England, Anthony Kennedy's Tesla Model S was stolen. Kennedy later posted a YouTube video showing detailed security footage of two men stealing his car while it was parked and charging overnight in front of his home. The men walk up to the car, apparently unaware of the two security cameras pointed at them. One man stands by the driver's side door and tries the handle, which causes the car to start looking for the key fob. The other, armed with a tablet device, starts walking around the outside of the house searching for the key fob signal. This signal is part of what's called a passive keyless entry, or PKE, system. There's a known weakness in the system used in the Tesla Model S and a variety of other high-end vehicles. In fact, Tesla has warned owners about this specific attack and has already recommended ways to mitigate the danger. More on that in a second. Quickly, though, on the video, you can see that the key fob signal is located by the guy with the tablet, and it's transmitted from the tablet to the phone of the thief standing by the car, effectively extending the range of the fob's communication with the car for an instant. When that happens, the door is unlocked and the car became drivable. What happens next is sort of comedic. You should watch the video for this. There's a link in the show notes. As the thieves can't seem to figure out how to unplug the Tesla charging cable in the dark. Both men try it several times, yanking and fiddling with it before finally figuring out that there's a simple button to press to disengage the charger. It's a bit surprising that two guys who are wandering around with a two-part Tesla cracking system have apparently never used a Tesla before, but hey, maybe that's why they stole it, to try one out for the first time. In this particular theft, the owner points out that he did not activate the pin-to-drive feature, a Tesla security feature that would have required a passcode for the thieves to actually start driving after entering and activating the car. The thieves managed to disable the car's remote access features and likely remove the car's SIM card, blocking its ability to communicate wirelessly. This means it cannot be tracked directly by the owner or Tesla, but if the thieves plug it into a Tesla supercharger, it can be tracked that way. At the time of this recording, the car has not been recovered yet. Kennedy, as well as several bloggers, have pointed out that there are a couple of easy security measures to ensure that this doesn't happen to you. First, you can store your key fob in a Faraday pouch, which blocks wireless radiation, preventing anything from picking up the signal in the first place. Second, enable that pin-to-drive feature on the Model S, or a related Model 3 feature that requires a registered phone to be present in the car, which would mean that even if this attack were successful, thieves could not actually drive the car after opening the door. Today, the Google Home Hub launched in the US, UK, and Australia. It's just $149 and features a 7-inch touchscreen attached to a small speaker with the whole thing powered by Google Assistant. It has nice kitchen-centered features like visual recipe walkthroughs and a very nice, albeit small, display. One of its banner features is the complete lack of a camera. So unlike competitors' smart displays, there's literally no way for this thing to watch you, and reviews are loving that, especially for the price. But note that it does have, of course, microphones for voice commands, along with a physical button to mute them. But here's a roundup of some of the many positive reviews that we read today. Andrew Gebhardt at CNET writes, quote, "The Google Home Hub's touchscreen is responsive and works well in combination with Google Assistant, whether you ask for help on a recipe or to check what's on your calendar. Pictures and videos look particularly crisp thanks to an ambient light sensor that adapts the screen brightness and warmth to match the room. A control panel screen makes it easy to organize and control your smart home devices," end quote. Ron Amadeo at Ars Technica writes, quote, "The Home Hub speaker is notably better than a Google Home Mini, which is a relief. Still, it lacks the thumpy bass of a regular Google Home, which means you have a bit of a decision to make with the Home Hub. Do you want a touchscreen or do you want better sound from a regular Google Home? The Home Hub manages to pump out sound in all directions very well, including the front. The cloth on the back should not be used as an indication of where the sound comes from. The Home Hub and now other smart displays can also join a speaker group, so your Home Hub and Google Home speakers can pump out music in unison," end quote. Stephen Hall at 9to5 Google writes, quote, another key selling point of the Google Home Hub is that it functions as a great live photo frame. It wasn't that long ago that digital picture frames that simply pulled photos off a USB drive were this price. But the Google Home Hub is much more. It wirelessly and automatically pulls all the best photos from your Google Photos library and displays them all on this beautiful display, end quote. And finally, Nicole Lee at Engadget writes, quote, what really makes the Home Hub feel more personal is that it doesn't have a camera. One of the most common criticisms of Amazon's Echo Spot is that even though it looks and feels like an alarm clock, having a camera by your bedside feels intrusive. That's how my husband felt when I was testing the Echo Spot last year, and we ended up kicking it out of the room after just a week. Sure, I can toggle the camera off with a physical switch, but that mutes the device's microphone too, which negates the purpose, end quote. That's all for today. I've been your host, Brian McCullough. You can follow me on Twitter at BrianMCC. And of course, you can order my book, How the Internet Happened, which comes out tomorrow. The majority of the show was written today by Chris Higgins, who you can follow on Twitter at Chris Higgins. And of course, we had the help of the TechMeme editors, who you can follow on Twitter at TechMeme. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.